Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Amazing FBA, the place to be for Amazon sellers all over the globe, particularly UK-based, US, Australians seem to be the main audience, although people from everywhere on the planet, literally one download from pretty much everywhere these days. Today, we are talking with Sarah Goller of SellerSpike. SellerSpike is the latest data analytics platform for Amazon third-party sellers. Really very core topic for anybody who's doing digital marketing, getting the analytics right. So great topic and a warm welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you for having us. We're super excited to talk more about SellerSpike and all the data and analytics you need for your Amazon business.
Pleasure. Well, it's good to have you here. Where are you coming to us from today?
I am coming to you from Los Angeles.
Excellent. Sunny California. Bit of a contrast to the rain-ripped Europe at the moment, I have to say. Well, certainly in London. So let's get on to more cheerful things. Let's talk about today. We're going to talk about Amazon sellers' need for analytics. Why indeed we do need analytics? Because I guess most of us know that we need some kind of numbers. Some of us are more convinced than others of the value of that, I suppose. So tell me, first of all, what sort of metrics do we need to track? What are the magic numbers in your opinion, in your experience?
Right. So you'll probably hear me say this through the rest of the podcast, but it really depends on your business and the metrics you're looking to track in your business. So just as you would go to, say, Instagram analytics to pull website clicks to see how much traffic Instagram is generating for your business, you may go to SellerSpike to pull key metrics that are affecting your Amazon business in that time. But with SellerSpike, we've made it easy to see your data, consume it, easy to find, and completely customizable.
Great. So I guess what you're saying is that the responsibility for figuring out what you need to track is really on the entrepreneur themselves or the business manager. But you guys are good at showing the numbers in an easy way. So tell me a little bit more about your opinion about the whole business of analytics then before we get into the detail of it. Why do we even need to bother to track keyword info in particular? What does it do for us as sellers?
Right. So since Amazon is essentially just a giant search engine, as is Google, simply put, it's a search engine. If you rank higher in the search engine, more people will be drawn to your store, resulting in more sales. So Amazon's algorithm is sort of hard to get a grip on, but tracking keywords and their rankings as they correlate with the items you sell on Amazon is a beneficial practice for all Amazon sellers. So while we can only try our best to rank the highest in the algorithm that Amazon has, it's been proven that keywords help you rank higher.
So I guess that, you know, more visibility is important because it's a search engine. So what keyword information do you think we need to track specifically then? I guess we talked about that with metrics, but when it comes to keyword data specifically?
So I would say that overall, you want to ensure that your keywords are ranked. So SellerSpike puts this really simply by giving you a simple yes or no for each product, displaying whether or not the keyword is correlated to that product is ranked. So we do this by scanning your product in Amazon. If it shows up in the top 50 for that category, it is considered ranked. If you go on SellerSpike.com, you will see that we give you kind of a simple yes, you're in the green, no, you're in the red, in correlation to if it's ranked. So you'll want all of your keywords to at least be ranked to optimize your listings. To dive deeper into keyword optimization, you'll need another third-party tool. But the information that SellerSpike provides is sufficient to help you optimize your listings.
Okay, so do you show the keyword ranking, or is it just literally that it shows whether it's in the top 50 or not?
Whether it's in the top 50 or not.
Okay, right, fine. So at least it simplifies life. So, okay. So what's the difference between, this is a key one actually, what's the difference between data-driven and data-informed? Because data-driven is one of those words that you hear a lot. Do you think that's a valid thing?
Yeah, I do. So in other words, should you run your business based on data or simply let it guide you in decision-making? I think this is one dilemma when people look to third-party systems like SellerSpike to solve all of their problems. So what we do is we provide you with extremely accurate data, which allows you to then make decisions based off this data for your business. So this would be a data-informed seller, there is no right or wrong data-informed versus data-driven, but as a business owner, you want to sway more to the data-informed side of things, because if you're looking to data to answer all of your questions or your worries, you're not putting in any environmental factors that may be affecting your bottom line.
Okay. And what do you mean by environmental factors? That sounds like an interesting sort of phrase.
Right. So the simplest example would be just having a spike in sales, but not putting into consideration that it's the holiday season and thinking that this spike in sales is something that your business is doing so great, but not putting into consideration the environmental factor that, hey, maybe the market is spiking because of the holiday season.
Okay, yeah, that does make sense. So in other words, you have to look outside of the business data itself and look at the data, I suppose, data in the broader sense of the environment that it's in. Yeah, that makes sense. So how do we handle data overload? I guess this is one of the things that a lot of people have. I guess if I was speaking to you several years ago, then I might be saying, how come you guys don't give me more data for the keyword ranking or something? But actually, these days, one of the issues we have, and I'm sure that you bore that in mind when you were designing the software, is that we all have too much software and too much data. So how do we handle this data overload that we get from these different software packages we all have?
Right. I also think this relates to being data-driven versus data-informed. If you're overwhelmed by the data that's being presented, searching through it to find the answer to all of your questions, you'll probably experience that data overload. But as for example, the keywords, how we only provide you with, yes, it's ranked, no, it's not. And you're looking to another third-party system to track all of your keywords because this data is giving you all your answers, you might want to consider spending your time more wisely, say with other strategies that might improve your ranking.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. So the only thing I might argue, and I guess it does depend on individual sellers and their relationship to their data, which I suppose is what we're discussing, that you might want to get more granularity later down the line. I guess you can always add more tools, right? But you're right that there is a big danger of trying to micromanage things when, in fact, if you go from ranking position 15 to ranking position 10 for a particular keyword, it may not actually make a very big difference to your life in any significant way. So I guess what we're talking about is also coming around to the question again of what metrics to track. Related but slightly different questions, what the key performance indicators? Now, KPIs get used so often that people forget. They think it just means the numbers or the metrics. But I guess what it means for me is the key performance indicators. In other words, the very important metrics. So what would you say are the most important ones for any Amazon sellers to track?
So this will vary between businesses because not every business is built the same, but one main KPI that we suggest for Amazon sellers to constantly keep track of is inventory, obviously. Once you've been selling on Amazon for a while, you probably have a good idea of your sales velocity, but like I said, you have to consider those seasonal and environmental changes. So for example, the holiday season or even the pandemic are a time where you need to keep a close eye on your inventory, and also things like aging inventory or commingling inventory can also have a great effect on your bottom line.
So tell me how you think those latter two have an effect on the bottom line as well, aging and commingling.
So with aging inventory, I think it was maybe a few months ago, time is just blending together, but I know Amazon started pulling items for being in storage for more than 365 days. And that's just one extra fee that you don't want to pay.
That does make sense. Yeah, I suppose I was thinking that sometimes I think aging inventory means it's out of date or it's expired, if it's like a medicine or food stuff or something you put on your skin or something. But actually, I think you're right that sometimes it has a habit of changing the storage limits. And yeah, certainly, even if you don't have it removed by Amazon, which is a bit horrible, it could certainly end up with massive storage fees. Of course, the long-term storage fees traditionally. Okay. And what are the other ones? That's a very good one to track is inventory, particularly aging inventory co-mingled. One thing, you know, I hadn't thought about enough for a while. What are the other KPIs, do you think?
So we often try to emphasize the one metric that matters to your business. So what KPI matters above all? The one metric that matters is really going to depend on what stage of selling you're in. This is one metric that really aligns with your main goal. So as a beginner seller, your main goal might be to make 100 sales. So the KPI that might matter to you, for instance, maybe your gross sales. But as a more experienced seller, you might have the goal of having multiple products whose bestseller ranking is above 30. So the seller's most valuable KPI in that instance would be their bestseller ranking. But when you have this broad KPI, you'll need to track, it will affect smaller KPIs along the way.
Okay. Can you give an example of how that might fit together? Let's take the example of an experienced seller. So you want to get high BSR or low BSR, I guess. How would that tie in with the other KPIs you're tracking?
Right. So if your bestseller ranking goes up, obviously your ads are doing well, your sales are going up, and you can see all of your other KPIs that are important slowly climb with the bestseller ranking. And maybe you'll have better reviews or just search engine ranking in the Amazon's algorithm, you'll rank higher.
Yeah, it's interesting what you say, that actually I suppose if you track the right KPI, and you make a very, very good point that different stages of business require different goals and that your KPI should align with your goals, both of which are very, very important points, actually. I think probably we don't consider that enough. And I think the other thing you're saying that strikes me is that if you get the one KPI right, that's the most important one, the other ones are kind of a subset of that, right? So if you're getting a lot of sales, then obviously you're getting some kind of visibility for keyword ranking, you're getting clicks, you're getting conversions, because otherwise you wouldn't have sales, right? So I guess another way of putting what you're saying, if I understand rightly, is that if you get the right KPI measured, a lot of the other ones become kind of redundant because they're implied by that anyway. Is that a fair sort of summary?
Exactly, yeah. So I think you'll find once you identify that KPI for your business, make it a goal, really draw a line in the sand, and you don't cross that line until you get to that goal, you'll see the rest of your business coming together around you.
It's interesting, isn't it? I suppose that a lot of what you're saying, the thrust of it seems to be also aligned with your software, which kind of is about simplifying things and focusing on essentials, not having more data is not better. In other words, you know, picking your fights, picking the right data. Very interesting. I mean, that's actually quite different from the approach that a lot of software companies seem to take. I presume that's because you guys have made a decision as a company to go that way. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. I think that overall simplifying it is good for all of the points that we've just talked about. So not having data overload affecting all areas of your business and identifying metrics that affect your whole business and being able to track that and simplify it has been Seller Spike's main goal.
Interesting. Yeah, it's quite a brave decision, but I think it's probably the right one because a lot of people try to analyze their way out of problems. And I guess you kind of implied that, right? That really, if you've chosen the wrong product, all the analytics in the world won't help you to sell it. Because if it's no different to what else is out there, then you can't get the magic solution from any kind of analytics tool, I think. And I guess you guys are real about that and go, right, so focus on what you need. So talking of which, we talked about this, the stage of selling that you're at and deciding, you know, where your goals should be and thus what KPIs, what data you should be looking at. So how do you identify which stage of selling you're in? What are your thoughts about that?
Right. So we kind of try to break it down from beginner, intermediate, and expert selling. But obviously the lines can get a little blurred, but I have like a few examples that might be able to show you what stage of selling you're in, and I'll detail those. So if you're an established seller, but don't have a clear marketing strategy ROI and your income is just unpredictable and sporadic, you may be sort of an intermediate seller, meaning that you are more of a versed Amazon seller, but you really need to get a grip on your marketing strategy, your return on investment. It might not be a good time to, say, expand your product line. And as for if you're a seller that has a hard time fulfilling orders, keeping products on the shelves, and your Amazon business has taken the majority of your workload, you may be an intermediate seller that's ready to become more an advanced seller, expand on your product line, get funding, just because your business is booming and you need to keep product on the shelf. Obviously, what you're doing is right. So obviously, if you're a more expert seller, you're a veteran seller who has a good idea of where their business is and where it's going, you're a seller with multiple years of experience and have most likely already had some financial help of some sort, you're most likely an advanced seller. So with each of those, like I said, you're going to have to look to your business to identify what KPIs you need to track and what's best for your business, which can vary. But obviously, if you're a more advanced seller, your goals are going to be larger. You want that KPI to align with your goals. So that's what's going to affect your bottom line.
Yeah, nice. I think, by the way, those divisions are quite a bit different from what I've heard, but really make a lot of sense to me. So I think one of the things you just said, which I think is really important to underscore, is that if you've got a very sporadic sales and you're not clear what the return on investment is, then you need to get a grip on those things before you start expanding. And I think that's very good advice, because a lot of the advice out there is very testosterone fueled, expand at all costs all the time. And yes, in an expanding market like a e-commerce and in general, and Amazon in particular, there is a pressure to do that. There is a need to do that. But you're quite right that if you're in a bit of a mess, that is not the time to expand. It's time to consolidate. And I really believe in that as well. I'm a big, big believer in getting people to get their marketing and financial data, the two sides that they tend to get wrong. So I just wanted to underscore that. And yeah, as you say, more advanced sellers have bigger goals and they therefore need to have different KPIs. But yeah, that's good. And yeah, the other thing you said, which I think is really worth underscoring, is that if you have a hard time fulfilling orders, you may be placed for expansion. In other words, if the marketplace is dragging inventory out of you quicker than you can supply inventory, that's a kind of quality problem to have, but it's a different problem, isn't it, from sporadic sales.
So. Right, yeah. And that's what I explained in another podcast was, he said, how can we expand our, how can people go from 10 units to 100 ASINs? And I said, well, if you can't master those 10 units, then you probably should not expand to 100 ASINs.
Yeah.
So, because if you can do 10 really great and you can't keep that inventory on the shelf, then that's the time where you can expand.
I really like that. If you can't master 10 ASINs, you shouldn't try to get 100 or whatever it is you said. That sounds like a nice tweetable for the episode, actually. That's a really good quote. Yeah. Because it's simple, but it's a bit of humility. It's like, if you can't handle 10, wait until work on till you've got 10 sorted and then add things to a solid platform. And I really think that's important. In fact, I've sort of started, we're just about to ask you what you guys do, but I just want to say that I started working with people because of that very issue, who around the $10,000 to $20,000 a month mark, that seems to turn up quite a lot, that they come to me and go, Mike, I want to expand. And then we look at what they're doing. I go, yeah, before we expand, we need to sort your finances, your data, just get a solid strategy behind it. So I really like the fact that I'm not the only person that thinks that's important. So talking of which then, tell us a little bit about the sort of services you offer Amazon sellers at SellerSpike.
Right. So we offer a ton of services. We initially wanted to be an all-in-one tool, as I mentioned, with sort of the keyword tracking. But with an all-in-one tool, like I said, with the keyword tracking, it's going to show up a little bit different than as it would on a keyword tracking third-party tool. So with SellerSpike, you can track all of your advertisements, whether they're headline search ads, sponsored product ads, sponsored brand ads, or sponsored display ads. You can track your data across multiple marketplaces worldwide and multiple seller accounts. You can analyze performance on a product by product basis. This is something that we think is really cool, because you can really break down the profit product by product. You can analyze your performance. We have completely configurable charts. So that's not something that Celex Managed by Stats, ShopKeeper, or Fetcher offer. And as for things that our competitors don't offer, we offer profit by parent product, sponsored display ads, unit returns, and cost of good credits. So we really have a lot of great tools and our data is very accurate. So we're really excited to get some people to try Seller Spike. We are really proud of what we've created and we think people are going to love it.
Excellent. And I guess the customizability fits in with that philosophy that you guys obviously have, which I think is completely right, which is at different stages of business, you need to have different goals, and different goals mean you should have different priorities with your measuring and your KPIs. So that does make sense that you guys can customize it. I also know that one thing that I've got here from my notes is that the pricing flexes with the business size, which is obviously another factor, isn't it, that these softwares end up adding up quite quickly. So tell me a little bit about how the pricing size works in general.
Right. So we have three stages in our pricing plan. But if you head over to our website and scroll to the bottom of our pricing page, you can put in exactly what you want out of our software and it'll calculate a price for your business. So it's month by month. And when we say we have flexible pricing, it means if you do need to scale back, then you can say you're not making as many orders as you thought you would. You can scale back or you can move forward in your business and add more of our add-ons. Some of our add-ons include keywords, more sales, more orders per month, and things of that sort. So if you want to go to our website, you can go to the pricing page on the bottom, see what stage of selling you're in, add up the keywords that you want and the amount of orders that you do in a month.
Great. Well, that's going to be good news, particularly for those who are in the sort of beginner or intermediate stages, just to keep a handle on the costs. Because I don't know about anyone listening, but I personally find whenever I go through my bank statements every 3 months, if I make myself do it, I'm always alarmed by the amount of money I spend on software. Mm-hmm. So, you know, wonderful as that it can be, it's got to be used wisely. So that's always reassuring. So talking of your website, the address to go to, I believe, is sellerspike.com. And you've got a discount code for amazing FBA listeners as well. So do you want to give us that code?
Yes, it is going to be AFP20 for $25 off our growth plan for 3 months. So AFP20 for $25 off. It's a little confusing.
Excellent. Yeah, it's a little bit different, but AFP20 is Alpha Foxtrot Peter, I guess, if you're putting it that way. Or, of course, come over to the blog, folks, at amazingfba.com/blog and just have a look for Sarah's, S-A-R-A, or Seller Spike, and you can find that information over there very easily as well. So great stuff. Well, that's always worth having money off, so it's worth considering. Sounds to me like, in essence, you've built a software that is designed to be simple to use and also customizable to individual needs, which are both very good things in the software space. So good stuff, and I think worth checking out for anybody. There is one software born every minute, but this software clearly has had a lot of thought and care put into its construction, so worth checking out. So it just remains for me to say, I know we're going to get you back to talk about profit, which is another very important topic, but for the moment, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
If you make between 8,000 and 30,000 euros or dollars a month on Amazon, so about £6,000 to £22,000, this is worth a minute of your time. I've noticed a consistent problem for e-commerce sellers around this level of sales. They've got one, two, or even several products making decent sales. They've got market research and they have their sourcing in place. In short, they've done the basics of launching products and of their business. But too many are driving blind. Usually they don't know their numbers, whether they're financial or marketing. Often they are lurching from uncontrolled spikes in sales to going out of stock. And nearly always, they lack a clear roadmap for the next phase of growth. Their business is, in short, unstable, probably not very profitable, and certainly unsellable. Step forward, the 10K tune-up. The 10K tune-up is a process to hone sellers' businesses at this critical point in their growth. It will make your business more stable and more profitable. You will work together with me one-to-one to help organize your finances and marketing data. We will get to you the best use of your accountant to keep on top of your numbers and of your freight forwarder to stay in stock and keep making money. Once that's stable, we will work together on a product roadmap to get to seven figures a year in profitable sales over the next 1 to 3 years.
In short, we will help you turn your business into an asset that makes you money now and, which you can, if you want, sell in future for a healthy six or even seven-figure sum. To find out more about how that works, just go to www.amazingfba.com/tuneup. That's amazingfba.com/TUNEUP. Thanks for listening.
Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com.